It's time for CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Find us on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play Music, YouTube, and TuneIn. The easiest thing to do is tell Alexa or Siri to play CBJ in 30. Here's your host, Bob McGilligan.
Well, the very first thing that I have to say today is happy Veterans Day. If you're serving or if you have served, first of all, God bless you and your family, and thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts, because you are the ones that protect our freedom. You are the ones that allow us to do what we do each and every day. And personally, I cannot express enough thanks to you. So enjoy this day. Happy Veterans Day to you. And again, from all of us, thank you so much. This is CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. What a week it's been. Let's see. What has happened since we last talked on this show? Oh, I know. Gus Nyquist announced that he's got an injury to his shoulder, and he's going to miss 5 or 6 months after having surgery. So that's a tough one for the Blue Jackets to take. Of course, Gus came in here last year as a free agent. He played on one of the top two lines throughout the course of the year. He did a good job. He fills a need for this team. I think he can be better than he was. I don't think there's any question about that. I think he has been better than he was this year. I think, though, being in a comfort zone, you know, I go back to Riley Nash a couple of years ago. Riley Nash came in here in his first year, and that's not fair to say he struggled. Well, yeah, I guess it is. It's kind of fair to say he struggled. He was trying to figure out what his role was. He was trying to figure out, even though he's a veteran guy and played for a couple of different teams, he was trying to figure out, where do I fit in? How do I fit in on this team? And I think Gus, a little bit of that, maybe not to that same extent as it happened with Riley, but I think a little bit of that actually came into play with Gus. He played most of his career with Detroit. He went to San Jose at a trade deadline deal and played in the playoffs, and then he comes to the Blue Jackets. And as I said, sometimes he'd be on the top line, sometimes he'd be on the second line. John Tortorella got him into penalty killing, which he hadn't done a lot of in his career. So there were a lot of changes for Gus last year. I think Gus can be a better player. I think he's a good player. I think he can be a better player. But unfortunately, this injury has sidelined him, and so we're going to find out how the Blue Jackets address that. Will they just give more ice time to guys they already have on the roster? Will there be someone else put on the roster, either via free agency or via trade, before the season starts that might take some of that time? Who knows? We're in this waiting game. I talked about this last week. It's a waiting game right now. You're waiting for the season to start. You're waiting to know when training camp's going to get underway. All of those things. So this is another part of the waiting game to see what the Blue Jackets are going to do with this. Okay, so Gus has to have surgery. That has happened since last time you and I talked. The other thing is Vladislav Gavrikov. I should learn to say it if the guy's going to be here for the next 3 years. Vladislav Gavrikov, and I love to say that name. How can I screw it up? That tells you how long I've been out of work. I got to get back to it. Vladislav Gavrikov signs a new contract extension. It's for 3 years. He was a restricted free agent, so that is off the table for the Blue Jackets. It is done. That means the only remaining restricted free agent happens to be Pierre-Luc Dubois. The big fish is still waiting for a contract. But again, as I went through last week, and if you want to hear the whole thing, go back to last week's show and listen to it again. What it is, there's no deadlines yet. The training camp is not starting on this specific day. The season's not starting on this specific day. So once those deadlines are put into place, then I think you're going to see more movement. You're going to see Pierre-Luc Dubois signed. The Islanders are going to sign Matt Barzal. I'm telling you, those two things are kind of connected because of the types of players they are, the money they might get, all of that stuff. Then, of course, teams that have to shed money to get under the salary cap, once there's a deadline, they'll have to do that. And that's when there's going to be more opportunity for the Blue Jackets. Again, I went through that in much more detail last week. If you want to get detailed, go back. That's the abridged version of it. That's the cliff notes of it right there. So, you know, either way, whatever you want. Also, yesterday, there's some stories about the NHL when it actually might start. So now, it's being reported that Gary Bettman says, yeah, it's possible that we might start the season in hubs. And we talked about that before a couple of weeks ago. Again, it's all right here. I'm ahead of the curve on all of this stuff for you, okay? Go back to a couple shows ago when I talked with Mike Russo from the Atlantic in Minnesota, and we talked about all of this, starting in hub cities. Don't know where they're going to be. Don't know how it's actually going to be done. But there were some articles yesterday about the commissioner saying hub cities are a possibility. Maybe you go in and you play for 2 weeks, then you go home for a week, spend with your family, then you go back out again. Is that going to be the entire season? Is that going to be part of the season? I have no idea. Nobody has any idea right now. So if they start like that again, how many games? 48, 56, where are the hubs going to be? How long will you go in for? How many teams are in at a time? Again, nothing but questions. But there was also another good thing. As the NHL has to get together with its Players Association and figure out all of this, because the players have to give their stamp of approval on all of this, when they're going to start and all that. So they're saying they are still looking at January 1st. The league is saying right now they're still looking at January 1st. How that works with training camp and preseason games and how many preseason games and where you're going to play those, how that all works, I have no idea. I don't know. But the NBA came to a deal with its players, and they're looking to start on December 22nd. I think that's great. Because if you look at the way things go and have gone in the past, even though during the early part of the pandemic, it was the NHL that had a return to play plan first. They did. They had already planned it out how they wanted to do it. But what they didn't have planned out is when it was going to start. The NBA was second to the plan, but first to enact it. And right after they went to enact it, the NHL followed suit. So what am I saying? I'm saying I'm happy that the NBA has settled on what appears to be December 22nd, because maybe the NHL can now use that, look at what they're doing compared to what the NBA is doing, and get it done. Get a date. Let's get going. So Larry the Cable Guy says, get her done. Just do it. That's what we're all waiting for. You, me, everybody. That's what we're waiting for. All right. Now that I've gotten all that out of the way, I have told you that as I do this show for you once a week from now until really training camp gets going and when we actually have really good stuff to talk about, I've told you you can send me questions at any point. You can send it to me on Twitter, at Bobby Mack Sports, or you can send me an audio question or a video question by emailing me, Bobby Mack, B-O-B-B-Y-M-A-C, at BlueJackets.com. And this week, Tom Wright took the time to get together an audio question and send it to me. So here's Tom.
Hey, Bob, this is Tom. Thank you for everything you do. I've really enjoyed all the shows that you've done kind of in this weird period. But yeah, I've got a couple questions for you. The first one is, what makes Nick Foligno so good at the wraparound goal? Does he just try it more frequently, or does he have something up his sleeve that other players don't necessarily have that makes it so much more successful? And then my second question is, when are we going to hear you and your son do another podcast or conversation about hockey? I really enjoyed hearing you guys talk about goalies and just hockey in general, kind of shooting the breeze, and I'd really enjoy hearing that again. Thanks, Bob. Bye.
Well, thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. Let me answer the second part first, because, well, I was going to say I know the answer to the second part. I don't know specifically the answer, but I don't know when we're going to have that conversation again, but we can. I mean, he's not here. He's out of town. Not that with today's technology, we couldn't do that, but it's always more fun to do in person, because then it's easier for him to roll his eyes at me and vice versa. So that's better. Plus now that I wonder if it'll be more of a challenge for him because he's doing baseball every day. So I know he's still paying attention to hockey because I get texts, every once in a while, or I'll get a tweet forwarded to me and, you know, hey, what's going on with this? Why did this team do this? So that's a conversation that at some point here, maybe Thanksgiving break, Christmas break, something like that. Maybe we can get that going. Now, the first part of the question and the great part of the question, Nick Foligno, why is he so good at the wraparound? You know, I sit here so many times and I just take these things on, but I really thought that this week would be a great opportunity to do better for you. I want to do better for you, the audience. I want to do better than just me giving you my breakdown on what Nick Foligno does so well. So I've decided to invite a mystery guest in to answer that question for you and give you the best answer possible. That's what it's all about. So without further ado, let's bring in that guest. Well, Nick Foligno, welcome to CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. You know, I finally figured that if I get asked a question that I really don't know the answer to, instead of just making up the answer and trying to pass it off like I'm the all-knowing, which I normally do, this time I figured I know a guy that's got some time on his hands, and maybe he could answer the question for us, and it'll be legit. So I wanted to bring you on. What do you think about Tom's question when he says, what makes you so good at the wraparound goal?
I mean, first of all, I just stroked my ego, so that was nice. I haven't had that in a while. I mean, no playing, nobody's cheering for me. I've been getting yelled at a lot at home, so that felt good, mostly by my kids. but honestly, it's you know, it's cool when you start to hear people, you know, think about the way you play the game and why, you know, certain guys are so successful at other things. And you know, that question, it's you know, I appreciate it. First of all, thank you for the question and thank you for the compliment. But I guess the biggest thing I would say is that I try to use my edges, more. And, you know, you talk about, there's, you know, for every Connor McDavid or Liam Foudy in the league, there's about 100 other guys who aren't as good as skaters and can't fly down the wing like those guys. So, I learned from a great skating coach that, you know, your edges are what's going to maximize your ability on the ice. And obviously I play around the net and you know, you have to be able to use them to kind of close that gap on some players. So just because maybe somebody's really fast straight ahead, you know, maybe you can catch up to them by the way you can zigzag through things. And I've tried to use that in my game, and around the net, I feel like that's kind of where your edges really come into play. You know, you're cutting around, C cutting around guys. You're using your edges to beat some, cause that straightaway foot speed really doesn't matter in that moment where it's just tight areas. And so when I'm coming around the net, I try to just make sure I'm really leaning on that inside edge and, you know, using my reach to my advantage. And, luckily it works out a couple times. And, you know, another guy that when you talk about the wraparound, a guy that I've seen have a lot of success and he does the exact same thing is actually Oliver Bjorkstrand. You know, he comes down the wing and has such a good shifty maneuver and he kind of fakes that shot and he uses his edge. You'll watch him. He kind of opens his legs up into a C cut, we call it, and just glides right around the post. And he's tucked a few in I've seen recently that, you know, is such a testament to his skill set. So I think edge work is really the reason why you have that. And we work on it a ton.
How much did it change a couple of years ago when they made the goal a little bit narrower? They created more space behind the net, between the net and the boards, and it made it a little bit easier for you guys to get around behind the net faster in an effort to generate more offense. How did that change? Because you've been here to see it play with it both ways.
Yeah. I mean, Gretzky's office got a little bigger. It was nice. We could all get in there and it was a nice feeling. But it's amazing. I never realized just by them narrowing it, how many more scoring plays happen faster. And the goalies just don't have that split second time, you know, that they used to have to get across the net. I mean, we see it so much. We use it to our advantage a lot of giving away secrets, but nobody's playing right now, so it doesn't matter. On our power play, actually, you know, it's one of those plays we use where we go, you know, from the wall down to the guy behind the net. He'll come behind the net and they'll actually hit Cam Atkinson or Oliver Bjorkstrand coming down, and that goalie, just how fast that play is for him to get across and be able to try to be square. Those guys have had a lot of success, and we've had a lot of success in the power play that way. So that's really opened up a lot of opportunities for us. And I was amazed at playing both styles, you know, how many more chances you get offensively and how hard it is for the goalies, how much harder it is for the goalies to really read and react, because it's such a quick play. It's bang, bang, and you have so much more room behind the net to make plays.
Are you a little bit disappointed that the question wasn't what makes Nick Foligno so good at the shot between his legs upstairs into the top of the net?
Yeah, that one have been like a little bit more my style, my speed. I joke that Sonny Milano, obviously, when he did it this past season, he was watching my YouTube channel, those are the ones you practice in the street. You know, I love that. To me is where you get better. You know, if you really are a kid listening or You know, everyone thinks they got to be on the ice to get better. I 100% attest to, I got better on dry land training. I got better in my driveway, shooting a ball, stick handling a tennis ball, your hands become faster, a golf ball, whatever I could get my hands on. I'd lost so many tennis balls. I'd use, you know, my imagination a lot of times. And that to me is where you develop your skills. That's where you can try things that you've never tried. And, you know, and the skating, it all comes with it, you know, and as you get older and you start to get stronger and, but those, the hands that you see guys have, it's not from going on the ice 3 times, 4 times, 5 times a week and stick handling. Yeah, that helps. But the time that you get at home and when you're doing it, when no one's watching, that's when you become a better player. And I'm a firm believer in that.
Now, you sound like a youth coach already.
I know. I feel like one. I'm watching my son. He just started playing this year and I'm loving it. I love the, you know, how the kids, to me, it's so cool watching my son. I mean, he's not very good right now, but how much he's improved already in just the short time that he's been on the ice, mostly because he's just watching other kids. I don't think people realize too how you watch somebody do something and then in your head you're like, well, I want to do that. You know, even he taught himself how to stop better. I actually remember shouting him out there like, this kid doesn't know how to stop, so this should be hilarious. And the first day he's running into the boards, and then by the next practice it's like, you know, he's slowing down a little bit more, and then all of a sudden now he's stopping, you know, and all because the kids around him were stopping and he wanted to do the same thing. So you know, that's really neat to see. You know, sometimes you forget, because we're such a high level now, the jumps that you can make just by, you know, a raw talent like they are. And it's a lot of fun to watch.
You know, it's funny you're talking about that, and I'm thinking he's just starting, so there's no pressure yet, but gee whiz, as this kid goes on, he's going to be like Jody's son, Owen, and Derek Dorsett, and Rick Nash. I mean, everybody's going to expect these kids just to jump in and play like their dads.
Well, the first game he played like his dad, he took about 7 penalties. So, it was pretty funny. I just want him to love it. That's my biggest thing. You can worry about – I've been the kid that had to follow his dad. So, you know, I know what the pressure's like, and I think because I love the game so much, it drowned out all that other noise. So I just want my kids to love the game the way I love the game. If they end up playing, great. And if not, we have something that we can at least enjoy together. And the passion for it is still there. So it's really special, though. I get more excited. Well, I shouldn't say, he's pretty excited to go to the rink, even at the 6:40 in the morning practices. I'm still not quite used to those, but I'm pretty excited to take him even right now.
Are you going on the ice with him?
No. As they've asked me, and I just want to be a dad. Now, you know what, this time around, I just think it's important that I'm just a dad in the stands cheering him on. And I can't get over how many times, I don't know if I did it as a kid, I must have, but how many times he'll look up at me and make sure he's doing it. I'm like, just focus on the coach, yeah. You know. So I'm yelling at him from the stands. But I just love, you know, you're watching your kid enjoy something that you love so much. I think there's something beautiful about that. And he definitely is. He's got a huge smile on his face. He doesn't know what the heck he's doing, but it's awesome watching him try to figure it out. And Grigorenko's son's out there as well. So Mikhail Grigorenko, our new teammate here, and it's really been great to kind of use that as a way to get to know him, and his son's having a blast too.
Yeah, it's kind of weird going to the rink in that kind of a role. I did it for a long time. You know, I wasn't on the ice like you, but always over by the bench or always behind the scenes, right? And just to go and sit in the stands, it is. You kind of appreciate a bit of a different role, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I love being the sitting on the stands and having a coffee and chatting with the other parents. And yeah, I mean, that to me feels normal. That to me feels like what it's all about. And, you know, I know what I do for a living, but when I'm there, I'm just his dad. I want him to always remember that. You know, it's not about all the other stuff. He deals with that enough throughout the day. So I'm really enjoying just being a dad and a parent, and you know, and treating him to ice cream when he wants it after, and making sure he's working hard. That's the only thing I ask. Work hard, have fun, listen to your coach.
Enjoy all of that, because when he gets older, all the parents will come and talk to you and they'll ask you why the coach did this or didn't do this and what do you think about this, and you'll soon go cower in a corner, yeah. and don't talk to anybody. So enjoy, yeah. This now.
Yeah, that's also why I don't want to be a coach, because I don't want the parents talking behind my back. I feel like people do that enough, and all the fans do it enough. So, no, it's good.
Hey, while I have you, I want to ask you something about your team because, you know, you mentioned Mikhail Grigorenko being a new teammate, but since last you and I talked, you've got some new teammates too. Josh Anderson is gone. Alexander Wennberg is gone. Max Domi has come in, and also Mikko Koivu has come in. I want to start with him because he there's a that indirect relationship. He played with your brother in Minnesota. So, you know, how much talk was there going on between you guys, and how happy are you that Mikko decided that he wants to come here and he wants to bring all of his years of experience and his good leadership skills to the Blue Jackets?
Yeah, I mean, I was thrilled. I think first and foremost, I just know what type of player he is, playing against him so many years. And then Marcus obviously joined him in Minnesota and just had so many good things to say about him and just the type of leader he was and the way he played the game and how he approached things. And you know, when I heard that he wasn't going to go back to Minnesota for whatever reasons, I actually reached out to Yarmo and said, is this a guy that could fit here? And obviously knowing Yarmo knew him from Finnish national team and in his home country. And I just felt like, the guy has seen a lot of hockey and he's a player that could really help our club. And just his mindset, the way he approaches things. And I could learn from him. You know, I don't ever want to stop learning. He's a captain. Here's a guy that's been a captain a long time in the league. And I could learn from him as well. And so to have him choose us, I think that was a big thing. And I think it should speak volumes about our team to the rest of the guys and know here's a guy that wants to win. He's not coming to our team just to kind of, you know, find a contract. And he really feels we are close to winning. And so when you have a guy that joins you like that, I think that should springboard everybody in their mindset of, yeah, we have a really good thing going here. We want to make sure we make good on it for him. He's choosing us. Let's take it seriously and make sure we, you know, take that next step. I think it just speaks about our team and the direction we're going. So thrilled to have him. I think he's going to be a huge addition. And I think, you know, it's a guy that is obviously tried and tested and has something still to prove.
What about Max Domi? And I know that you and Josh Anderson had a good relationship on and off the ice. And he goes there. Max comes in. You know, on paper, it fills a need for both teams. You guys needed a second-line centerman, somebody to take those minutes, somebody that's been proven in this league for a couple of years. And Max fits that bill. How much have you talked with him, or what were your impressions when that deal came down?
Yeah, it's hard with Josh because, like you said, we all loved him. Great teammate, and good guy, and great player, obviously. You said it. It's one of those trades that fills a need for both teams. I think we had the same thing happen with Ryan Johansson and Seth Jones. What a great deal for us, and I'm sure for Nashville they're happy. I mean, sometimes you got to lose good people to gain what you need to move forward, and that was, you know, what we needed in a center iceman like Max. And I love the way he plays the game. I think he plays with a ton of piss and vinegar and pride and character, and I think he's going to be a huge addition to what we already have here. But he's a guy that fills a need in the middle. I mean, we're desperately looking for that edge up the middle, especially with Luke, the way he plays, it takes some pressure off of him and have another guy that can kind of come in with that 1-2 punch and the skill set that he has. But, I think he's looking, you know, forward to this opportunity. He's going to, I think he's excited to play for a guy like Torts. Knows a lot about our team from being really good friends with Andy, and I'm sure they've shared stories about things. And so I think he's coming into a really good situation that's going to bode really well for him if he handles it the way that he's capable of. And I think we have a room that can do that as well and make sure that he's playing the way he's capable of and channeling all his emotion and energy the right way. And we're really pumped to have him. I think he's going to be a huge addition. And I know from talking to him how excited he is. And that's all you can ask when you get a guy like him coming in.
And that's another guy that he really wanted to come here. I mean, he gets traded. I understand that. But he wanted to come here. He's excited about being here. He signs a 2-year contract. All of those are things. You mentioned this a little bit earlier when you were talking about Mikko Koivu. This is a place where there's been a lot of recent success, but you don't have to go that far into the past to where you'll see people would pass this up. And these guys aren't passing this up.
No, I mean, I think we've earned that right. I mean, there's still so much work to be done. Let's not kid ourselves. We're not Stanley Cup champions yet, but we're moving in that direction. You can tell anyone that plays against us does not like playing against us. And that's something that we've talked about. That is going to be a mandate for us going forward as a team that long ago, that had to be one of our staples of a culture of who we're trying to be here, that just relentless effort, you know, and I'm just so proud of the guys for buying into that. And I think teams and players respect that. There's never an easy night when you play the Columbus Blue Jackets, and we want to make sure of that. So when these guys think about us as options, they're excited because, you know, we have a chance to win every night. We're a team that has a chance to become a Stanley Cup champion very soon here. And if you add the right pieces, we could really springboard us. And I think that's what we're looking forward to. That's why we're excited about these additions we've made. It's really strengthened us down the middle, given us some opportunities to look at some guys on the wings and, you know, move a guy like possibly like Boone Jenner back to his natural position at wing. And what a threat that would be to have a guy like him forechecking and be freed up to go do that. So you see in our depth and our D. I think that when you put all that together with our goaltending, it's an intriguing place. And we've worked hard to make it that. And we're excited about, you know, we still feel like we have a lot of respect to earn. And that's, you do that by winning. But, you know, our track record speaking for ourselves. And now we want to move forward and not just be a playoff team. We want to be a team that goes deep. It has to be the thought process now. This isn't good enough anymore. Last year, great, we got by Toronto, but that was just to get in the playoffs. We didn't get the job done against Tampa. Got to find a way to get past that. Got to get 3-4 rounds in and get a chance at that Stanley Cup.
Well, you did suffer a blow last week when it was announced that Gus Nyquist has to get some surgery and he's going to be out 5-6 months, whatever it is. That's tough. I mean, he came in here last year as a free agent and he contributed and he added and he's a top six player. And, you know, as it stands right now, anything can happen. Obviously, we know that the roster can still change before you play. But as it is right now, that just creates more opportunity, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you know what? That's always a hard blow. When you got a guy like Gus and his skill set and what he brings to our room, and there's a reason why we signed him in summer as a free agent. I mean, he just checks all the boxes and has all year. I mean, we were so impressed with him. What a great teammate. You know, he just came in and instantly was a big part of our group. So to lose him, yeah, it's tough. But, I mean, you forget we played without a guy like Josh Anderson all last year, and we're a resilient group. We've understood that, you know, guys can go down at any minute, and you just have to find a way to weather that. And I think with everything we went through last year, we're very confident in weathering storms right now with the group we have. We have a lot of guys that can patch in and play and do very well. Not just, you know, fill a hole, thrive in that position, you know, and it gives an opportunity to guys that, like myself even, you know, and move up and play and make sure that we're doing this for our team and wherever we're needed. So I'm excited about it. It sucks losing Gus, but it's an opportunity for a lot of players to come in and make a difference, which is all we ask for as a player. And we're going to need it. We're going to need more from everybody. And I'm looking forward to that challenge and seeing what guys do.
Are you sitting there like the rest of us where, you know, there was the free agency came and there was a lot of talk and then, well, not all the big guys got off the board. There's some guys that are still on the board right now, as a matter of fact. But are you kind of there, even as a player, sitting and waiting and wondering what's going to happen? I know I keep waiting for the dominoes to fall with these teams that are over the salary cap and they've got to get rid of players. And yeah. I know there's been a lot of talk about Yarmo looking at that. But I guess the whole thing is, and I said this on the show last week, there are no deadlines right now, right? I mean, it's not like training camp starts here. So these teams go, oh, my gosh, training camp is starting here. I got to get rid of these guys by here. So are you like that? Are you just kind of – I mean, you want to get back to work, I understand. But are you also anticipating what else is going to happen?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I'm definitely getting to the point now, though, where there's a time's ticking away. We're getting closer to the holiday season, too. And you're like, well, we got to get some answers here of when we're starting up. You know, I think all of us are just – what are we doing? You know, it's one thing to go to the rink and train and work and get, but you want to have something to work towards. So the unknown is tough, but full well knowing that anything can change any moment. I think we've learned that from 2020. I mean, that's just the mantra of 2020. Anything can change at any moment. And I think we're mature enough to know that we want to be, you know, in great shape and ready whenever that puck drops and it's decided that we're going back. And but we're hoping it's soon. And we know that the team could look a lot different from now to that point. But excited about what this core group has still to prove and going out there and getting the season in. So I think, you know, hopefully we're going to get an answer here soon of when we're starting up, which I think will be a great boost for everyone's morale, fans and players alike. But we're just staying patient right now and staying ready. And our group, I think, learned a lot going through what we went through last year, that how important it is to stay ready, because you're going to have to hit the ground running like we did going into the playoffs last year.
Yeah, I was so happy to see the NBA started actually throwing real days around, like December 22nd. I'm like, all right, yeah, get locked in. Somebody get locked in, and then everybody can follow, right?
Absolutely, and I think that's such a great thing to see that the NBA has made that announcement, and I think that gets us excited. You know, I know the NHL, we're a little different team because we have seven teams in Canada, or a little different league because we have seven teams in Canada, but you know, hopefully that can kind of get us into a place where we can start talking about a schedule or a date and you know, get that on the calendar, so it's something more finite to work towards and get us back in front of our fans. We desperately want to start playing again, that's for sure.
You know, it's funny you say that because there's that talk about a Canadian division and then mixing up the divisions for this year. And when I'm looking at a projected division for the Blue Jackets to be in, the first thought is, oh, man, get out of the Metro for a year. That would be okay. And then you look at some of the proposals and you're in with the defending Stanley Cup champs, the previous defending Stanley Cup champ. It doesn't get easy in this league with the parity, does it?
No. And it always seems like we get stuck with the masses, too. With
always in the best division. Always in the best division.
It's a compliment. I take it as a compliment. But, yeah, it's it'll be interesting. I wonder how if there's a realignment for just making it work, where that could go. And it is kind of fun to play the what-if game right now. But I think we feel confident. That's the good part. This team has grown so much that we're no longer like, oh man, we're more excited about just the opportunity to play against these teams and have this, you know, this challenge. And we're looking forward to just getting better every time.
All right. One more thing. Have you come up with any new things like during the pandemic previous to the playoffs and now, are there any things you're doing different? Are you reading anymore? Are you playing games? Is there anything that now is a part of your life that wasn't a part of your life before all of this?
I'll just say like activities now, you know, that we're not used to, my wife and I, we got the kids now. My son's playing hockey. My daughter's in gymnastics. And, you know, you're starting to do all these things that now we're in the car more than we're at home. You know, dinners are no longer sitting around. It's one, you know, my son and I are eating and then running out the door. And so that's been the biggest change, I'd say, that we're getting used to. And it's been pretty funny. We're laughing like we're those people now. We used to laugh at our neighbors driving by and only see the half their body in the car. Now we're those people and always leaving and going and, you know, but it's fun. I'm cherishing this time because I know before you know it, it'll be over and we'll be back to the grind and I'll be excited about that challenge again, but I don't want to miss out on the opportunity I've had with my kids. This is time you feel like you'll never get back. And everyone tells me, I mean, as much as it's stressful, you miss these years, you know, and as they get older. And so I'm really trying, both of us are really trying to enjoy it. Even though there's some days where my hair is definitely coming out faster than I expected. But it's a lot of fun. And you know, we realize how fortunate we are too, and think about a lot of people in different circumstances. And we're just praying that the world heals here a little faster and we can all get back to a new normal.
Well, I'm going to echo those sentiments for you because high school hockey season is just starting right now in Ohio. And for the last 4 years, that has meant that I'd be running around going somewhere. Cool. I got nothing to do, my friend. So it's like all the time, it's like, what are we going to do today? So enjoy it. You got something to do.
I know. That's what I said. I go, I don't know why I'm so busy, but I'm enjoying it. So it's good. Beats the alternative.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, thanks for doing this, Nick. I really do appreciate it. Here's what my biggest hope is. When the season starts again, I hope we can actually talk in person and not through these kind of calls all the time.
I would love that.
It would be nice to be back with the group and be a part of what's going on with you guys because it's so fun and it's so special. So thanks again very much and best of luck. Enjoy that time with your family and hope to see you soon.
Thanks, bud. I'm going to go work on my wraparound right now.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that because I really did. And thanks again to Nick Foligno for taking time out of his day and doing that. He was great. I got the question and I sent him a text and I said, look, I can answer this question. I always do, but I think it would be really cool if you would come on and answer it and we can talk and I can catch up with you a little bit. And he didn't hesitate whatsoever. So thank you to the captain of the Columbus Blue Jackets for doing that. Not for me, I mean, for you. I think it's great. So as it goes on, maybe I'll do more of that. I would like to do more of that. So again, any questions, Twitter, Bobby Mac Sports, on my email, Bobby Mac, BobbyMac at BlueJackets.com, audio, video, type it out, whatever you like, just do that's fine. All right, Next week, who knows? Who knows what the story of the week is going to be next week, but I'm going to try to keep up with it for you. If there is indeed a real plan to play and some real dates, I'll get somebody on to talk about that, and we'll go right to that. So again, it's kind of, you know, it's a fly by the seat of your pants thing for me, because I want to get you the most current information, what's most up to date, and have the most fun like we did today with Nick Foligno. So I hope it was fun for you. It was for me. And I know Nick enjoyed himself. Either that or he lied to me when it was all said and done. But either way, that's going to wrap up this edition of CBJ in 30. It's been presented by Telhio Credit Union. And the one thing that I didn't do at the beginning, because I was talking about Veterans Day, because it's so, so important, I also have to talk about the fine folks over at Telhio Credit Union. And you should check out their website for all of the services that they provide. You know, you have your money somewhere in a financial institution, but are you getting what is best for you? Do they have the perks that Telhio Credit Union can provide for you? The only way to find out is by going to their website at telhio.org. Search around, click on the links, read all about it. And if you can't find all of the answers, their phone number is there, or there's a live chat option on the right side of the screen. Just click on that and somebody will pop up on the screen and talk with you about it in real time. Telhio Credit Union, find them on the web at telhio.org. All right, that's going to wrap it up for today. Great to get back together with you and talk a little hockey. Who knows what's going to happen between now and next week? But I guarantee you this, when we get to next week, I'll be right here to talk all about it with you. Until next time, I'm Bob McKelligott saying so long.